Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the stroll down your steps of free speech. I'm walking down the staircase inside my house, where I've got to finish putting together the show. So go to Republic Broadcast, because I got to go to work in the morning, so I got to get it done before I go to bed. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. All right. So, yesterday's show was just a phone call on Tuesday night between Dr. Duke and I. I had a little bit left over, and then I got another phone call from him tonight, just like a couple hours ago. An hour ago, maybe? I don't know. It wasn't that long ago. And so we wound up recording that. I'm going to play that first, and then I'll be right back just to play as much of the leftover of Tuesday's talk as possible. No, I'm going to do it. Yeah, well, something like you'll figure it out by the end of the show. You'll figure it out. Okay. Enjoy.
Okay. Sell guys things, promote certain things among guys that they want. They also just find ways to make advantage of the networking that they do among the goyim, because they live in an overwhelmingly 98% goy society, for the most part, maybe not in their particular neighborhood. So I don't, in a situation like Israel where they feel their oats, and by the way, if you go to some place like Miami Beach, or you go to places like Palm Beach County where Chloe grew up, all the goyim there, right? All these New York Jews come down mm-hmm. there, right? And every single person I've ever met, I mean, who's just open-minded, they're not even sort of like us, but you talk to them, and they just can't stand the Jewish personality. They're pushy. They push to the head of the line. They always expect privilege. They give to the waiters and waitresses all the time. They had these Jews coming in from Century City, where all these retired Jews were, and they were stealing so much of the silverware. And this is a story that Chloe knew all about. And she was talking to the people. So they have these buffets and everything. And they got to the point, because the Jews would just be taking all the food and taking it back, you know, and they would also be stealing the silverware and all that. They eventually banned buses from the Century City to come to the Swiss, whatever they called it, the smorgasbord, you know, buffets, because just the obnoxiousness of these people. So I don't know. Now, it's a different situation when you're trying to sell somebody, or somebody's trying to help, or somebody is just making acquaintance with you for a little bit, and they're kind of networking. And there were a lot of nice Jews. I've met nice Jews before in my life. At least I thought they were nice. I don't really know in their heart of hearts where they are nice or not, but I tend to believe that these people that I thought were nice are nice. But I said maybe that we really have a stilted view, because when they don't know, I've always noticed this with Jews with me. Sometimes in some rare cases, well, not rare, if I get, depending on where I go and what I have on, whatever hat on or not, I met many, many Jews, and they get so obnoxious. And so if they know me, or they know my anything about me, or any of the image of me, they're just downright almost vile, like almost homicidal. I joined a club by my house called Anytime Fitness. And this club was taken over by these Jews. In fact, they cheated a woman that owned the place out of her thing by complaining to the company, Anytime Fitness, as a franchise. So they sent all these complaints in, saying that the gym's not clean or anything. There's a nice young lady who's broke up with her husband, but she took over the gym, and she was a good lady in a good place, right? And they literally stole the gym out. They own about five or six of these gyms. And I think they do the same thing. They've got this plan, you know. They get the people really upset, the franchise really upset with them, and then they have these terms of the contracts that they can get them out. But the point is that these Jews took it over. So one day I'm talking with a friend of mine, the same guy was cutting my hair, and he's a bodybuilder too. He goes to Anytime Fitness. And I was going there sometimes the week, because it was just basically 2 minutes from my house. And when I had to do a quick workout. And anyway, so this Jew, and he was a pretty big Jew. And so I'm, you know, and he knew who I was, and you could always see he was just seething when he'd see me. He didn't try to do anything about me or kick me out or whatever. And one day, my friend was there, and we were just having a discussion in the hallway. And we were just discussing, oh, I don't know, something about Israel, the Palestinian question, or something about, you know, whatever. It's just, it was a mild thing. And he came up to us, and he demanded I leave the gym. You know, he started getting almost violent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm a fairly big guy, and he knows I've got some experience, and he knows that, I've had some training too, and I know how to handle myself, and he's seen how strong I am in the gym. But he was really just about the point to try to hit me. Now, I didn't want a big scene, and the last thing I wanted was a big run-in with a Jew in my local town, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe him claiming they arrested me. My friend was there, who was a nice guy, but he was intimidated by all this. You know, he's a good guy. And but he was really intimidated. And he couldn't understand how this Jew went totally crazy. We didn't even say anything. It wasn't nothing against Jews, just that I opposed the whatever, the Jews who were trying to wreck my campaign or something like that back in the Senate race time. But it's just, and this is the kind of experience, I've had a lot of experiences that way. In my life. So maybe, it's one thing meeting the Jew on the casual level, and you're doing something that he's interested in that you can help him with, like something, a car he wants to buy and he wants to get a good deal from the salesman, or he wants to, or he just wants to make a network because he's got something to sell you. And those experiences may be a little bit stilted from in a pure case where you had Jews who saw you as their ethnic and religious and anti-Semitic enemy. And then you might have a different impression of Jews being nice or not nice, or liking them or not liking them.
My understanding is that if they knew exactly what I thought and exactly what I did, the vast majority would be very angry, and maybe a few would just be like, have their feelings hurt or something. But that's wrapped into my assumption. But most people, first of all, most people don't think or do what I do, and their interactions with Jews aren't going to be particularly unpleasant. And so when the person, the RBN host who's new to all this and just says, yeah, all Jews hate the Goyim, they hate the Goyim, the listener, the person that they're trying to reach is going to say, well, that's not my experience.
That's a great point. That's why it's always important to qualify what we say about that, right?
Yeah.
That we, it's good to say it's not all Jews that are like that.
But, but the thing is...
But I think there's more Jews that are like that we would normally pick up on.
So here's the corollary. Okay, so the corollary is... So on the one hand, I'm saying that I assume that most of these Jews, the vast majority of the Jews that I know, that I get along with well, that I like, and that like me... would their feelings would be very different if they knew what I thought. Likewise, the corollary, maybe it's not 100% mirror image, but it's close, is when you got somebody like the recently red-pilled person who liked Jews before or was indifferent towards them, but then they find out what Jewish power is up to, they get very angry, right?
Yeah, and they also don't know how to express themselves properly.
Sometimes excessively, yeah.
And then people think that they're crazy, or people think that they're.
And then on the ultra rare occasion, you get the guy who walks into the synagogue with a gun.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Which almost never happens, but it's happened.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's the worst thing that can happen to us when that kind of thing happens.
Although, when you think about it, like, all of the people walking into synagogues with the gun that's happened in our lifetime, it's probably less Jews have died from that than that one single Jew
making everybody a drug addict.
Well, but I'm thinking that one Jew who was classmates with Howard Dean at Yeshiva University Medical School, what was his name? Goldstein, the guy who walked into a mosque in Jerusalem and shot it up. He probably killed more in that
29 Muslims.
That guy's name, it was like Goldberg or something,
Goldstein.
Berg Goldstein, who was classmates.
And his picture is on Gavir, who's the head of security in Israel. He's like the top, so to speak, law enforcement officer, policeman in Israel. And the picture of Goldstein, the murderer, is in his office, right? Almost like a shrine. I mean, that's the guy, one of the guys leading Israel right now. Did you know that?
No, but I'm not surprised.
Gavir, I guess, is the guy. But Goldstein, yeah, Baruch Goldstein. Yeah. We don't need no Jewish temple. We don't need no Antichrist.
We don't need no Jewish leader.
Sometimes I wake up in the night and I think, is this world, was I just dreaming about the world? You know, like, I mean, it's just like you can't, I mean, how could you even dream about it? How could you create in your mind something as insane as Christian Zionism, considering the history of Christianity, the writings of the New Testament, and the fact that the Jews have been the biggest enemies of Christians in the history of the world, and they've killed millions of them. I mean, it's even hard to grasp that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can say, okay, the Jewish Bolsheviks killed tens of millions of Christians, and they even made a death penalty if you had a Bible at some points. And they killed, really, I had a girlfriend whose grandfather was an Orthodox high-up priest, bishop or something like that, in the Orthodox Church. He was killed by these Jews. But it's like, you think, and then you think about Hagee and you think about these Jews. And then all the Jews who were the liberals, they all run cover. And they'll say stuff like, oh, Zionism is actually more non-Jews that are Zionists, more Christians that are Zionists. What a bunch of bullshit. It's so stupid. You know? And none of those Christians would be Zionists except for the Jewish propaganda. But and the lies and the control and the bribery and the inducements and everything else that they give them. But I mean, and what a cover. Oh, the real problem about Zionism is these Christian Zionists who support Israel. No, that's not the real problem. The real problem is Jewish supremacy, right? Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm going to go to bed, man. I can't believe I've been on the phone with you almost 2 hours. And I swore I was going to go to bed for 9 o'clock tonight. I've been on with you almost 2 hours. But I've enjoyed the conversation all the time. And I always learn a little bit, and I always get another insight.
Extract the show from it. So that'll be for Thursday or Friday, one or the other.
I'm going to finish up my solo show tomorrow, and then I don't know, maybe Thursday we could do a show if you're going to be free.
I'm going to be probably pretty busy till next week. Might calm down a bit next week.
And here is that other phone call.
Gonna relax for a bit. I gotta record a show for tomorrow, and then I gotta take out the trash and all that.
Well, the media is just overflowing with the story about rapes, but that's already been debunked before. This alleged story, which was a place that got bombed. And Ben, by the way, I suggested something else to you earlier, you know, that Blumenthal did really a good show on a lot of these myths and a lot of these things that Jews are now putting out 2 months after the attack. And when most of these things have been changed, and I just saw a very fine interview with Abby. I think her name is Abby Martin. Is that it? She's a very.
I think she used to be on RT.
Yeah, she's a very famous journalist. She's very pretty too. She's blonde, blue eyed. She might be your new Tulsi, if you can ever forget old Tulsi.
Yeah.
Tulsi's.
Oh, by the way,
become a slut.
Well, you know what I think. Why I think she's slutting? It just occurred to me. I think she wants to be Donald Trump's running mate. That's probably what it is.
Really?
That's my guess. That's my guess.
Well, it's still an unholy and evil thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't approve of any of this, but...
I understand. Well, you know, if she can do some good with these lies, if she'll do anything good, you know, who am I to judge her, right? The proof of the pie is in the eating. And I kind of tend to think most of the time, but when Trump says these terrible things for the Jews,
He feels he's got to say that to get the power, and then he's going to fuck them. I hope so. I pray so. Right.
And, you know, it's a possibility.
It's possible. I don't.
Isn't that basically what Putin did?
Yes. But, you know, it's like these are really good questions we're talking about here. These are really, really deep questions, but important ones. Right.
And I'm going to flip.
I think we have a responsibility. It's not going to help him anyway. But he's got a responsibility that he doesn't have to say this, right? And he's gonna definitely totally lose the anti-war vote that he had, just like
Trump.
Yeah, it was just like RFK did, right? He's not going to pick up any more white votes by what he says, but he's going to f-ing lose all the anti-war people who voted for him, which was important to him ultimately. That's my opinion. I think it's incumbent upon us to try to influence what he does. I think one way we can influence what he does is say, unless he comes to a senses.
And by the way, I'm just going to say, I did flip on the record button.
Okay. Unless he comes to us, great. I'm glad you're recording this. Unless he comes to his senses, your senses, and realize that your enemy is the Jewish establishment. Jews were at every step of your impeachment, everything from even leading the last impeachment itself with Jamie Raskin and the three heads of the committees, Schumer's work in the Senate along with another Blumenthal. I mean, the entire Steele dossier was created by Jews and financed by Jews, like Sanger and the Republican Party, and opposed as never Trumpers, you know, like Goldberg of National Review. I mean, it's like, and now half of these indictments and all, and a lot of the main ones, like in Manhattan, like what's going on. This is Jews after Jew after Jew, and now they're going to bankrupt you. They were bragging about how they're going to bankrupt you now because they opened the door for all the civil suits. And if they take away your business license in New York, that'll be like a death knell to your most important real estate holdings and other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're out to destroy them. And so, I mean, we need to say, look, Trump, you need to stand up for yourself. And you don't have to say the word, if you don't want to say the word Jew, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it, as long as you do it in a proper way, in a humane way, you know, so to speak, a cultured way, do what you want. But don't go telling us how wonderful Israel is when they're a bunch of murderers.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see any of the Republican debate yesterday?
I didn't.
Okay. So there was some interesting stuff.
I decided to read about
it. Trump is 50 points ahead of any of them.
Yeah.
And there was they were ganging up on Nikki Haley. They were gangbanging her, which she appreciated. She said so.
Oh, I know, but that was...
No, she really did.
And that, by the way, they definitely have... They didn't allow but 50 students in there. You know that, right? And they definitely had salted... They made the crowd the way they wanted to promote her.
Yeah.
They cheered her when she said that.
Oh, they did cheer her. They cheered her. And she was saying the most disgusting things. And then Vivek Ramaswamy... It's funny. You got these four people up there running as Republicans, and two of them are Indians, right? Well, I guess you'd have to say four and a half people because Christie is so fat, he counts for at least one and a half. But you got these, they're up there, and Vivek says to her, she wants to defend these Eastern Ukrainian provinces. She can't even name them. Name the three Ukrainian provinces you want to defend. And like, on the one hand, it made her look really stupid because she just had this deer in the headlights expression on her face. And after about two or three minutes, she said Donetsk, Lugansk, and Crimea.
But it was did it to her little earpiece.
Yeah, I mean, she may have had an earpiece, or maybe it took her that long to remember what they were. But she looked. But the thing is, on all of the memes that were generated, you know, he makes his accusation, and then you see her with just this.
Treat you. Use turn signals, don't scream. my shoe. Squeeze toothpaste from the bottom of the tube. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. When others are talking, never interrupt. Don't put people down or leave the toilet seat up. It's the time for family and holly and turkey. Tis the season to be jolly, not jerky.
Jolly, not jerky.
Santa brought nearly every gift on your list. Why whine about the one that he missed? Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
A moment too soon. Santa should be here any minute.
She looked, but the thing is, on all of the memes that were generated, you know, he makes his accusation, and then you see her with just this subtle smile on her face, but her eyes look like the deer in the headlights, and so she looked really, really stupid. But you know, the thing is, that's actually a stupid question, because she's not trying to defend those provinces; she's trying to conquer them. She's trying to conquer the Russians in those provinces who don't want to be part of Ukraine.
She's they trying didn't to kill and destroy the life of those Russians. She is an ethnic cleanser.
Right. I mean, the Ukrainian army was shelling those regions and killed 14,000 people. And to side with the Ukrainians isn't defending those provinces.
She wants to murder them. She wants to drive them out. And she wants to murder as many Russians as possible. And she's got to be cognizant that if we gave them 60 billion more, they would just kill more thousands and thousands of innocent Ukrainians for no good effect at all. Thousands, tens of thousands more into the meat grinder. I mean, and I'm really getting disgusted, you know, because I'm following these things and I'm watching a lot of these media interviews and so forth and exposés that other people are doing. And I'm just getting so disgusted by even the people that defend our side. They'll say, they'll talk about what the Jews are doing, the violation of human rights, and they're doing something. But they just won't say it. They just won't say they're murdering thousands of children. They just avoid that language, right?
For 8 years, killing
almost all civilians. Almost all civilians.
Almost all civilians. Just shelling these places and aiding the army that was killing all those civilians is somehow defending those same people that they were. I mean, it was a stupid. So Vivek had some good moments, some funny moments. But when you get down to it, like he is still reinforcing so many of the bad ideas and tendencies that Republicans have. And I hate to say it, Republican boomers, he was saying that actually he's the most pro-Israel candidate, even though he has a different approach. But he's actually the most pro-Israel. Why say that?
Well, you know, he could say that if he was clever. You could actually say that and then condemn him without even sound like you're condemning. Could you say, I want to save Israel from themselves and their insanity, yeah. Right?
You could say that. You could say that.
That's how you do that if you want to say something like that. Yeah. Actually, I'm more pro-Israel in the real world because Jews are going to end up destroying the whole country and costing them Jews because people are going to hate Jews more and more when they're killing thousands, tens of thousands of children and celebrating that murder.
Okay, here's another highlight. And I haven't gotten through the whole, I probably only got through a third of that debate at the most. But here's another highlight from it. So Nikki Haley said that for every 30 minutes a young person watches TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic. So basically, if you spend an afternoon and you watch TikTok for 5 hours, you become 170% anti-Semitic.
Wow.
I mean, so anyway, on Nick Fuentes' stream, when
every time I watch Nikki Haley speak, I get 17% more nauseous. If I go an hour, I'll be throwing up by the end.
So, but Nick, when she said that, Nick's like, yes, yes. So she wants to ban TikTok because it's making kids anti-Semitic. Basically, okay, getting information that's not filtered by Jews makes you anti-Semitic. Well, maybe it does. But you know what makes people 17? You know what makes people? Okay, so now you're hearing all about these anti-Semitic attacks. You know what causes anti-Semitic attacks? Is Semitic attacks, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the Semitic is defined by Jew, of course, yes.
Jews.
But you always got to qualify these statements and these words because, but is it, you know? So the question really is, what is anti-Semitism now? And the way it's being defined is that it's objecting and trying to prevent the slaughter. We got to use words like this: the mass slaughter of thousands and thousands of children and women and old people. That's what anti-Semitism is. If that's what anti-Semitism is, to stop the slaughter of thousands of Palestinians and the maiming of tens of thousands of them and destruction of their homes and their lives and their future, if that's anti-Semitic, if that's the definition of it, how can you oppose it? How can you worry about it? Then you'd be in favor of justice and truth.
Yeah. So I wanted to watch this debate yesterday. And so last night,
you got me going pretty good tonight, man.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I came home late and I did, I started and did a YouTube search for it. And I came across a recording of a live stream that was going to be about it. And so I pull it up and it's on some guy's channel. The guy's name is David Pakman. And I'd heard the name before. Mm-hmm. And I look at the face and it's obviously a Jew. And so I did a Wikipedia search on him, and he's 33 years old, born to Ashkenazi Jews in Argentina, but he immigrates here. And of course, all these Jews from other countries immigrate here and immediately just get shoehorned right into the
silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ. Christ the Savior is born.
And he's 33 years old, born to Ashkenazi Jews in Argentina, but he immigrates here. And of course, all these Jews from other countries immigrate here and immediately just get shoehorned right into the elite. So he's got some giant YouTube channel. But I started watching the debate on his channel. But, he was talking during it, which on the one hand, like if it's Nick Fuentes talking during it, it's funny. But this guy was just annoying because he's taking them seriously. He's taking Chris Christie and Nikki Haley seriously, right? And so I couldn't watch it anymore. But then I was telling this guy about him. And so one of the things that this David Pakman is famous for is always making snide comments after mass shootings, such as, last year or so, there was a mass shooting at a Christian school. I guess it was this year, Christian school in Tennessee, right? And he said, that's funny that they would have a mass shooting at a Christian school. You would think that must mean they weren't praying hard enough. They weren't praying hard enough to Jesus, right? So here's this Jew mocking kids who got killed at a Christian school, saying they weren't praying hard enough, and that's why they got killed.
And then
on his like YouTube live stream, he starts getting anti-Semitic comments, and he's like, "Oh, I have to turn off the whatever you call it, the chat, because there's too many anti-Semitic attacks." And that's when I thought, okay, well, the reason you're getting anti-Semitic attacks is because you're doing Semitic attacks, right? You're doing a Jewish attack on these Christians.
Semitic mass murder.
Yeah.
Right?
You're making fun of a mass murder.
If you call Jews Semitic, it's getting some bad words.
Jesus hard enough.
You're doing praying mass Jewish murder of non-Jews.
Yeah. And so, that's – if you want to know why there's anti-Semitism, there you go. If there are anti-Semitic attacks, it's because of Semitic attacks. Now, mocking – that shooting is one thing, but you know what Israel's doing is massively backfiring. So there's other interesting stuff that's going on. And you were talking about, I guess on your show today, were you talking about what's going on in the UN and the invocation of Article 99 and that type of stuff?
Yeah.
And so last month, the rotating chair of the Security Council was China. And China invited Jeffrey Sachs. And Jeffrey Sachs made a very, very good critique of American policy, especially regarding, well, regarding Russia, regarding Israel, regarding Libya and,
I saw that.
And Syria, right?
His first, now, first one was even better, I thought, but here, the second was good.
Yeah, and this one is, this month the chair is Ecuador. And I don't know a whole lot about the new president of Ecuador, except that he's very, very young. So I'm not exactly sure how
didn't
this is going
to... Didn't he break relations with Israel? I'm not. Is that the same one, or is it Peru that did that?
Did he? One of the South American countries did break relations with Israel. Was it Ecuador?
I don't know. We can find out easy enough.
Yeah. Do you want to find out?
I've got barred now. I don't know where it showed up, but it showed up too, because when I'm in a Microsoft browser, barred comes up, but Bing comes up, which is another thing. I got in a nice little debate with Bing today. Had a good time, you know. And, you know, it showed out some things. And they started lying about me again, you know, saying that I said the Jews, you know, the Jews were superior. And I said, they would never said Jews were superior. He said they have supremacy over this because of their networking and the tribalism and ethnocentrism.
Well, my funny quip is not as timely anymore, but I was going to ask, did Bing start singing White Christmas to you?
Yeah, that's
you know, okay, Bing Crosby.
That's
my Christmas joke. Of course, White Christmas, I'm pretty sure was written by a Jew.
I always say, yeah, I have a good White Christmas.
Wasn't it written by, who wrote it, was it Irving Berlin?
Yeah, Irving Berlin wrote it.
Yeah, and I will say, Irving Berlin is like my favorite Jewish songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna get on his case too much.
I'm not gonna criticize him for that song. I love that song.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. I had something else. I had an epiphany today about another thing too. Since you're on the line, I'll never be able to say all these things on my show, but maybe I can say them here.
Hold on a second, because I am gonna.
You're still recording. Yeah, I know we got broken connection.
I can fix that easy, and I will edit out
your the whole thing being recorded anyway. But I might not.
I will edit out your little expletive deleted. Well, I will delete your expletive.
Okay, so you know, but this, you know, everybody talks about free speech, and everybody uses this Jesus quote all the time, all right? And you know the quote. Everybody knows the quote. This is from John 8, right? John the 8th chapter, right? And he says, and this is so interesting. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yep.
One of the greatest quotes that Jesus ever said. To be truly free, you have to know the truth, right?
Andy Hitchcock plays that at the beginning of every single one of his shows.
There you go.
I've got
the maximum thing for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing. He says, you shall know the truth, and truth will make you free. Then within the next 10 verses, he makes the most anti-Semitic quote probably in the history of the world. And what people have been put in jail for actually quoting of Jesus, and they still put him in jail like in countries.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. It's 8:44. The one about knowing the truth, that was just a few verses before that. It was like, what was it? It's 32. Okay, so this is what he says. Quote, and he makes it clear. By the way, the whole section is talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, which are the elite of the Jews, and they're calling him a devil and all that, right? And so this is what Christ says.
All this junk.
What?
They're calling him a devil and all this junk.
Oh, all this crap. Right. Everything you can imagine. And a bastard and, you know, mm-hmm. and from a bad woman and all this stuff. He says, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own essence, for he is a liar and the father of it. He must have been reading the Old Testament about the following of the what happened with Jacob lying to his father, right, to get the inheritance. And that's the source of the so-called Jews. Then he goes on to say a couple verses down, and then it says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil?" Yeah, so anyway. Isn't that interesting? So all this stuff, all this lies, these atrocity propaganda lies, and half of them just straight out lies. They even admit it, but people forget it, and they know that they can tell the lie, a big lie, a lie that has a big emotional impact to people, right? That people will believe lies like that because it's too, you know, it's too heartbreaking. It's too emotional. It's what we always remember most, the things that hit our emotions the most. We remember the emotional moments of our life, the tragedies of our life, or the great joys of our life. Emotions are critical, and they're trying to plug these emotions. But so this Abby Martin, I guess it's Abby Martin, I'm not sure it's Abby Martin. Abby Martin may be another friend that I have here locally, but it's Abby anyway. That's our first name for sure.
Pretty sure it's Abby Martin.
And she, maybe, I think it is. And she just goes through a lot of these things and talks about how all these things have been debunked. The 40 babies have been debunked. And, you know, she presents the evidence for that. She goes and says that putting the Jew in the oven is debunked, and it's debunked by other Israelis who were there at the time. Mm. That what happened was a missile, whatever, hit the room, and there were other troops there, and it caused it to burn. And that's how the baby burned. It wasn't thrown into an oven. And probably the missile was by Jews. But the point is that they make up the most disgusting, horrible things in order for them to justify and get their own soldiers and own people and people like us or people in other countries to support the mass murder of tens of thousands of people, mass murder and maiming of tens of thousands of innocents. They tell us things such as, this is Israeli leaders. Netanyahu talks about the Amalekites, and he says, he's invoking them and saying that there are heroes, and we have to kill the Amalekites because the Palestinians are the Amalekites. And he, you know, of course, he doesn't quote this, but everybody knows the quote. Everybody knows that the Jews were ordered to massacre all a man, woman, child. In fact, they go even beyond children. They say man and woman. They say, what do they say? Man and woman. They say children. And then just to make sure they understand to kill every, even baby, of the Amalekites, it says children, and then they go on to say, and suckling, on the infant, basically, right? Just to make sure that they know you got to kill the infants too. And by the way, the whole story of Purim, like I was telling you yesterday, is all based on the fact that Saul didn't kill all of them. He let some of them go. And that was a lesson to the Jews that they got to kill everybody. And so this is, you know, this is intention to commit genocide. But here he does this. I think I might have told you this today or yesterday. Do you know what his wife said?
Netanyahu's wife?
Yeah. His wife went on a radio show.
I don't know what she said. No, what did she say?
You got to hear this one. So she said, yeah, people say, yeah, this, you know, our president called them human animals. He said, I am not going to refer to them as animals because they're lower than animals. They're lower than animals. It's an insult to animals to say that they're animals. They're not human, and they're certainly not even mammals. They're evil, whatever. And of course, when they say something like this, and by the way, when they put out all over the Israeli media, and this is what Abby was talking about, they put out this crap all over the media. Bad word again. Sorry about that. When they put this stuff out,
RBN has standards, you know.
Okay, well, I got to cut that.
We try to keep it classy.
Okay, so when they put out this stuff, And they graphically describe and make up stuff about women, you know, whose legs were spread apart and their genitals, mutilated, and all this stuff, which cannot be proven at all. They were bombed, actually, and all this stuff. And they were doing this, and these horrible, horrible things. And their pelvises were shattered because of the gang rape. I've never heard of gang rape actually shattering women's pelvises before, right? Sounds like a good lie, right?
And Think about it. If you were going to copulate, like, the man has pelvic bones as well.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, why would the woman's pelvic bones break before the man's pelvic bones?
Usually women have a little more fat in those areas because that's how they're made around that area. They have a little more fat in that area. We all know that. So they would probably have more protection from having a pelvic.
We want to keep it classy, but still.
But I'm just saying. So Israeli soldiers that are going into Gaza and people sending missiles out and all these other things. And other people around the world are hearing these things. And there's lots of Jews in media, and there's lots of Jews, and there's lots of other people too that are going to be appalled by that. And are going to, you know, they're going to it gets everybody's mind off of the tens of thousands of Palestinians. But you're only talking about a small handful of people anyway, right? But that justifies the killing of tens of thousands of children.
Well, okay, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to justify it by saying that the Palestinians are locking them in a cage with a bear and an eagle. It's getting like that. But it's not working. And just getting back to the UN Security Council.
It's working amongst some, because
it's working amongst Fox News boomers and whatnot.
It's working amongst other people too, somewhat.
Yeah, but
it's certainly softening them.
But America has been dragged down by this. Because America is seen as enabling this. So you've got America's biggest ally in the Arab world. What would it be? Egypt or Saudi Arabia? Doesn't matter. They're both joining BRICS. They're both working very closely with the Russians and the Chinese on this, and the Brazilians, right?
Good.
South America. America is becoming increasingly isolated. This is bringing down America. So it doesn't matter. I mean, Fox News can rev up all the boomers it wants. They're irrelevant. The United States is becoming, I won't say it's completely irrelevant in this, but, oh, and then you got Lloyd Austin. Did you hear what Tucker Carlson's saying about Lloyd Austin?
No.
Okay, so this just came out. He's saying that Lloyd Austin had a meeting with congressmen, in Tucker's words, he threatened them. He said, either you approve this $61 billion for Ukraine, or we're sending your uncles and your brothers and your sons to go fight. We're going to go send them to fight the Russians.
Really?
Now, you know, maybe there's some context there. Maybe it wasn't really a threat. Maybe it was.
Well, that's what Biden said, I think. Biden actually said that in a talk yesterday. He said, if we don't send and support Ukraine with this money, we're going to have to go ourselves.
Yeah, I guess the idea is that then Putin is, because he's got an insatiable appetite.
Yeah, Putin's going to take over Europe. That's what Biden said.
Yeah, he's going to blitzkrieg Europe, right? And
then they may do that because what we're doing, you may be forced to.
He's not going to be forced to, because the United States and the EU are just they are. Being defeated so badly without being directly involved in the war. Germany's deindustrialized. The United States, one of its biggest weapons has been the dollar. The dollar is not going to be the world's currency anymore. It's not, you know, it's, you've got all the BRICS people are forming all of these new organizations. The United States shot its wad on this. It did all of these sanctions. It froze Russian assets. Nobody wants to have assets in America anymore. So, like, all of these power resources the United States had from diplomatic support. I mean, even you look at NATO. Even NATO is becoming just a shell. Is Turkey really an ally? It's in NATO, and it's in a position where it can veto things in NATO.
Yeah.
But is it really an ally?
Anyway, certain things like that, yeah. I guess I can.
Yeah, I'm running out of time. I know you've been recording too.
Yeah, I don't know how much. So I got a couple more quick comments, and I'll let you go. And I got to go to bed. And I told you I, I'm always getting past my bedtime. Now I'm an hour past my bedtime. But I wanted to say a couple more things that, you know, to contrast the teaching of Jesus compared to the Jews, here's another good example. In John 8 is where that famous action of Jesus Christ when the woman adulterer was charged with adultery, remember? And all the Jewish priests were going to go... of Jesus Christ when the woman adulterer was charged with adultery, remember? And all the Jewish priests were going to go stone her. Mm. And so then Christ started challenging them. They started condemning Jesus for asking questions about her being stoned, right? It says the scribes and Pharisees brought, I have this open now, so unto him, a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in his midst, they said to him, Master, this woman has taken adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they may have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, this is again in chapter 8, another one of the most famous words that everybody knows, right? Mm-hmm. And then he stick down, you know, and then let you cast a stone on her, right? And then it goes on to say, they that heard it, these scribes and Pharisees, which are the same ones that are the Talmud, the oral tradition, when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even to the last, and left Jesus was alone. And the woman was standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Of course, because Jesus was the Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. I mean, forgiveness, right? And it keeps saying, and then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I guess they still hung around, I'm the light of the world, and that followeth me will not walk in darkness. And then in a few more verses, he said, if you should know the truth will set you free, right? And then he goes on to say, in verse 44, that same quote I gave you to close the night, right? He did the greatest condemnation of Jews in history. I mean, the most anti-Semitic thing anybody's ever said, and a truthful thing, I believe. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He's a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. So when you look at everything regarding the Palestinians, you look at this mass murder, you look at this ethnic cleansing, and then you look at the lies of the media, and you look at the people who are supporting this, just like stoning the woman when they've got big boulders in their own eyes, right?
Mm.
I mean, it's like, was Jesus Christ talking about them or talking about typical Jewish behavior? You know, I don't know, but it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Well, that's good. Well, listen, Dr. Duke, I got to go take out the trash. But I want to thank you.
Trash.
I want to thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
I'll leave you with one word or one sentence.
Go for it.
We're all Palestinians now. If we help save them and we talk about this crime that's being done by the Jewish supremacists, we will absolutely help save ourselves and the rest of the world.
Yeah. Honestly, I think they're probably doing more to save us than we are to save them.
I think that's true.
They're making the sacrifice. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. You've got a good show to do.
Cuando es para ti mi cantar hecho de fantasía, mi cantar flor de melancolía que yo te vengo. Granada, tierra en sol, rentada en tardes de todos. Mujer que conserva el embrujo de los ojos moros. De sueño rebelde, me habla de amores. Granada, Manola, cantada en tablas preciosas.
tengo otra cosa que darte que un ramo de rosas. De rosas de suave fragancia que le diera Marco a la Virgen.